Our scripture reading is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verses 1 to 11, and that can be found in the Pew Bible on page 1033. Luke, chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Jesus as Lord of the Sabbath. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the cornfields, and his disciples began to pick some ears of corn, rub them in their hands, and eat the grain. Some of the Pharisees asked, "Why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" Jesus answered them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and taking the consecrated bread, he ate what is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then Jesus said to them, 'The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath.' On another Sabbath, he went into the synagogue and was teaching, and a man was there whose right hand was shriveled. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. So they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. But Jesus knew what they were thinking and said to the man with the shriveled hand, 'Get up and stand in front of everyone.' So he got up and stood there. Then Jesus said to them, 'I ask you, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it?' He looked round at them all and then said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' He did so, and his hand was completely restored. But they were furious and began to discuss with one another what they might do to Jesus." Amen.
Now let us pray. God our Father, we ask that we would become more aware of your presence with us as we now approach your word, and pray that in the power of your Holy Spirit you would take the ancient truths, apply them to our hearts, and make them new for today. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, I'm sure that every one of us, if we were in a position where we could give food to a hungry person, if we were in that position and we carried out what our heart was telling us to do, and then someone came in and objected to what we were doing, then we would find that to be inconceivable. And if we were in a position to reach out to someone who was sick or perhaps disabled in some way, to provide them with some practical help, with some support, and as we were doing what our heart was telling us to do, someone came in and objected to that, I'm sure that we would all find that inconceivable. And yet, it is circumstances close to that that we're coming up against in the reading that Linda shared with us earlier in the service. There are two stories there. Stories of men whose hunger was relieved, and of one man with perhaps a long-standing disability was healed. And yet in both these circumstances, hunger fed, illness healed, we have people who are raising objections. People who are not happy. And the people who were not happy were among the most religious of their day. They were among those who were best versed in the ancient scriptures. We're told that they were a group of Pharisees. And the reason that they raised objections about the hungry being fed, about the sick being healed, the reason for their objection was that they were carried out on the Sabbath, on a day when the law prescribed that no work was to be done. And you know, we get a very negative view whenever we hear that word Sabbath. It kind of raises up images of oppression and prohibition that we ourselves might have experienced in our lives. I never knew my grandfather on my father's side, but I'm told that he would allow Sunday papers to be bought, but not read on a Sunday. And these are the kind of difficulties that we can sometimes get ourselves into whenever the Sabbath is mentioned. But at its heart and in its essence, the Sabbath was a good thing. It was part of the law that God delivered to his people through Moses. And yes, it was designed to be a time when the people would rest from their work, when the land would rest, when there's an opportunity for people to renew themselves in body, mind and spirit, an opportunity also for them to reorientate their lives towards their God. It was the day when people would go to the synagogue, when they would hear the ancient scriptures read and also expounded, and their minds would be focused on their God. And all of this was regarded as being essential for the well-being of humankind, ministering to body, mind, and spirit. The problem was that this good thing had become distorted in the hands of men. And all these wee rules and regulations broke in and made the Sabbath day an oppressive thing for people. So that they used to fear the approach of the Sabbath in case something trivial was done, which would be regarded as work, and they would find themselves in real trouble from the powers that be. And that was the problem with the disciples, with the gathering of the corn, which was said to be harvesting on the Lord's day. That was the problem when they rubbed the corn, because that was threshing, that was separating the chaff from the edible grain. Both these things regarded as work on the Sabbath. And then the case of the man in the synagogue with the shriveled hand. Well, there was a big debate among the rabbis about what kind of care could be given to sick people on the Sabbath. Maybe we could stretch to emergencies. But a shriveled hand, could that not wait for another day? Now these were the things that the people of Israel, and the ordinary folk in Israel, had to live with throughout their lives. These rules and regulations, so that they, when they approached the Sabbath, which should have been a day to look forward to, they were approaching it in real trepidation. That's what they had to live with. But Jesus was quite clear in his own mind, and his heart was filled with the conviction that he wasn't going to live with it. He knew what the law was all about in its essence. The law was given to the people of Israel to keep them close to their God. The law was given to them to give them the resources to serve one another in times of need. The law was to be a channel of love into the world. But the attitudes that had grown up around the law, those were hindering the flow of God's love into the world. Those were preventing men and women showing love for one another. I mean, how could it possibly be the case that refusing food to hungry people was testifying to a God of love? And how could it be ever argued that preventing healing to a man with a long-standing disability could ever be seen to be in line with the will of a God of love? Jesus' being revolts against the whole thing. And it's interesting for us, friends, just to see how Jesus protests against this. Because in the first instance, now remember, this is the Son of God, the one who was with the Father from all eternity. And he begins his argument against the Pharisees by referring to Scripture. He raises up the example of David, who was the archetypal king of Israel, the one who was held in highest regard. And in opposition to the Pharisees' objection to what the disciples were doing, Jesus says, do you not remember what David did when he was on the run from Saul? And he and his men were hungry, and they came upon one of the many sanctuaries that existed in Israel at the time. And they asked the priest Ahimelech for bread. And Ahimelech said, well, the only bread here is the bread that is set apart for ceremonial purposes. Only the priests can eat this bread. This bread can only be used in the ceremonies prescribed for the sanctuaries. But all of that was set aside to meet the hunger of David and his men. It was never the case that the law should ever block the flow of love into the lives of men and women. And that theme is taken up time and time again in the preaching of the prophets. Chapter 1 of Isaiah presents an Israel at the time which was scrupulous in its religious observance. People were making sacrifices. They were observing all the religious festivals. They were praying and praying and praying. And yet the prophet breaks into this and says, what good is all of this when there's injustice in the land? What good is all of this when vulnerable people are being exploited? What good is all of this when there are people on your very doorsteps who don't have enough to eat, enough to hold body and mind together? It was never the case that the ancient rituals, the ancient prescriptions for worship, that they should be a distraction from what needed to be done. And Jesus himself continued in that vein. Time and again he quotes the prophets, and at one particular moment he takes up the words of the prophet Hosea, when Hosea says, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. Give me a choice between you making your sacrifices properly in the temple and feeding someone who is hungry. And I know what I want, says God. all the great spiritual provision that had been made for Israel was to enable them to walk closely to their God and to show love for one another. And something had gone very wrong in the religious observance of Israel at the time, if that was getting into the way of the free flow of love. You know, I heard a story about a church not very far away from here. It was a Sunday, and this church is on Argyle Street in Glasgow. And a fire engine skidded and went into a cafe, which was across the road from this church. Now, worship was going on, but it became clear to the folk who were gathered together that something pretty awful had happened in the street outside. Now, what kind of witness would it have been for that church? It was Sandiford Henderson Memorial Church in Argyle Street. What kind of witness would it have been for that church just to continue with their worship as if nothing had happened in the street outside? But the minister stopped, and he drew people's attention to what they already knew. And a large group of people rose, went out the door to attend to people who were injured and distressed. And it was much appreciated by the fire service and by everybody else who was involved in that incident. Now that's the kind of witness that our Lord Jesus Christ would have approved of. The worship of the church is important, but it's those things that God has given us to make us strong that enable us, when the moment comes, to respond to need. Jesus refers to Scripture, which testifies to the priority of God's love. And he also establishes his authority. Now this is quite something. In verse 5 of our reading, where he says, in conclusion to his argument against the Pharisees, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. He points to himself to bring this whole matter to a conclusion. I am the Lord of the Sabbath. Yes, Jesus is involved in the debate about what's right and what's wrong on the Sabbath, but he's also saying, and this is the important thing, he's also saying that he's above this debate. The Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. I am settling this matter now, because I have the authority to do this, says Jesus. I'm giving you the final word on the Sabbath. Now, I wonder how that attitude goes down with people in general. I think especially in our own time, when somebody comes along and says, this is the final word. Because the general consensus in society today seems to be there's no final word about anything. That each one of us has our own truth, and it's just as valid as anyone else's. And no one has any right to say that my truth is, in fact, wrong. Well, folk might draw the line at those that say the earth's flat, or something a lot more serious than that. They would certainly draw the line at Holocaust denial. But when we get into the moral area, when we get into the spiritual area, this is where this becomes more challenging. And yes, I would admit as I stand here today that it's not easy sometimes to come to conclusions about matters of morality and also theological issues too. But what's important, friends, for us to grasp this morning is that that doesn't mean to say that there is no ultimate truth. And that doesn't mean to say that it's a waste of time to try and pursue that truth and to grasp it and to make it the foundation of your life. Jesus said, "I am the Lord of the Sabbath." He is also the Lord of the whole of life. He is the ultimate truth. The one who came to show us God in his life. And the one who in himself shows us the way God wants us to go in terms of our personal morality. And it's from that perspective, believing what we do about our Lord Jesus Christ, that we have to look at everything in the world today, politically, morally, religiously. We are called upon to recognize that in Jesus there is everything we need to know concerning God and his will for us. And it's that powerful argument from Scripture and that particular sense of his own authority that Jesus brings to this moment in the synagogue when he's teaching. And this man with a shriveled hand presents himself. We're not quite sure how it's done, but Jesus becomes aware of this man with a shriveled hand, and immediately there is a bend in the atmosphere. Because the Pharisees are there. And they're looking for a reason to charge Jesus. They're watching him closely, we're told. Jesus would be aware of the waves of negativity that are bouncing off his mind and his heart at this particular moment. What is he going to do? And we're told that Jesus tells the man with the shriveled hand to stand up. Then he addresses everybody who has a mind to listen. What is lawful on the Sabbath? To do good or to do evil? To save life or to destroy it? Let's cut through all the pettifogging and all the splitting hairs. And establish this principle. Well, there's a toughness about Jesus. But there's also a warmth. His love will never be denied. You know, time and time again, I have a book at home and it's about the healing miracles of Jesus. And it's called, "And He Had Compassion." And he had compassion. Time and time again we get that phrase, don't we, in the scriptures. And that was something that ruled his life in the end. And he asked the man to reach out his hand. And his hand was completely restored. And the Pharisees are furious. They're furious that this man has been healed. Shows you how things can become distorted in people's minds and in their hearts. But Jesus reaching out beyond the rules in order to establish his love. I'm sure we all know about Eric Liddell, who won the 400 metres gold in the 1924 Olympics in Paris, France. The greatest athlete Scotland has ever produced, and I'm not even going to argue about that this morning. Eric was the business. And we all know that he may well have won a second gold medal in the 100 metres, but the heats were run on a Sunday, and he refused to run on the Sabbath, which was important to him. He wasn't fancied at all for the 400 metres. It was the 100 metres he was going to win. And there were a lot of people who were very upset at him. But we know the rest of the story. He won the 400 metres, hit the front from the very beginning, and stayed there. Incredible. But there was something more important in Eric's life, of course, and he went back to the mission fields in China and subsequently found himself in an internment camp after the Japanese invasion in the Second World War. Now, life was pretty grim in the internment camp, but Eric took to deal with the young people. He organized sports for them. The one thing he wouldn't do was allow any sports on the Lord's Day. There was a cupboard where they kept all the equipment for the sports, and he used to put a padlock on it on the Saturday night so that nobody could play any games on the Sunday. But then one Saturday night, the older boys broke into the cupboard and they took out the hockey sticks. They were going to play hockey on a Sunday. They loved Eric. They called him Uncle Eric, but, you know, they wanted to play hockey. And the game degenerated into a riot. Heads were broken. Eyes were blackened. Knees were skinned. There was no referee for the hockey game. It was mental. And people got together and they spoke to Eric and said, "Look, is it possible that we might have these games on a Sunday, but that they might be supervised?" And he took a wee while to consider it, but in the end, he said, as long as it was after lunch on Sunday, let them play their games. Let them be supervised. And he himself used to referee the hockey games. It was still important for him to honor his Lord in observing the Sabbath. But the question had to be asked in the end, is it honoring our God sufficiently if in some way the flow of his love is being blocked? As in so many things, Eric Liddell shows the way for all of us. The things that we value in the end, in our traditions, and the things that are so important to us, they always have to, in the end, come under the scrutiny of God's love. Let's pray. God, our Father, we give thanks to you for everything that you have done to bring us close to yourself and to enable us to walk in your ways. So give us all grace to know the road you wish us to travel. And may we do this with confidence, knowing that you knew what you were doing when you called us to serve you, and that you will provide us with everything that's needed to be faithful. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.